You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast with me, Robbie Musto, and him, Robbie Earle. And we're going to react to the games, the Sunday games of week 32 in the Premier League, and pretty definitive, really, for the top four matches. Of course, the game involved Chelsea versus Spurs and Arsenal versus Stoke. But before we get into the details, Rob, I just want to thank our listeners, really, for all the reviews that's coming through. Of course, we ask the listeners to rate and review our podcast. And in that review, tell us who you support and why. We've got a really good one, a pretty apt one for this particular podcast. It's from Walter 64875. He says, I love the show, and I'm a massive Spurs supporter since 2009. My older brother, a Chelsea fan, would come over to our house for family dinner, and we would watch the Fox Sports Review show. And I fell in love with Luka Modric and Gareth Bale after their 1-0 victory over Chelsea in 2009, maybe in the spite of my brother. Keep up the great work, boys, and come on, you Spurs. Very apt, Walter. Yep. So thanks so much for that. And of course, anybody else, please write us a review and we'll read the best ones out on our next podcast. Okay, to the action, to the business, to the definitive game of maybe the weekend, certainly in terms of the top four. Chelsea 1, Tottenham Hotspur 3. Go on then, my friend. What do you think?
Well, the Chelsea fan who's the older brother wouldn't be going round for dinner today and having a very nice Easter Sunday roast because, listen, we're talking about 28 years of history undone today, where when I've looked at Chelsea Spurs in the past, Rob, and I go back to the times when we were playing, so I'm talking about 90s, mid-90s on to the early 2000s, Chelsea teams used to welcome Spurs teams at the Bridge and almost go, you know what, it's Spurs. They've got ability, but they don't really get at it. They don't put their foot in. They've got no real heart and drive. They're a decent football team, but we'll get the points, and that's happened in the past. Well, today was a different Spurs, because even after a goal down, their attitude was good. Second half, they were by far the better team. And it was interesting, Rob, because over the couple of days on the podcast, you sort of said you were a little unsure where Chelsea would go, but you said who would want this game more, and you felt it was Chelsea.
Yeah.
And it was and I agreed. But having said that, today I thought, who had more to prove? And I thought it was Spurs today. I thought Spurs had more to prove. Because if Chelsea won, well, Chelsea continue the run that they've had. But Spurs proved something today, that in difficult circumstances, without Harry Kane, this team can deliver. This team can start to answer some of the questions that we keep saying, is this what's holding them back? Well, do you know what? In 28 years, they've proved us today that there's something a little bit more about this group. There's something maybe that's growing. There's something part of maybe the maturity, the experience. The disappointment from Juventus is maybe coming in another way, and they're starting to say, OK, today at 1-0 downward, they got it to 1-1 just before half-time. The second half, I thought they ran all over Chelsea and were superior.
Very, very impressive, Rob. And, you know, I started off by saying definitive. And that was pretty definitive, that Spurs are better than Chelsea. They're better than Arsenal. They're the top dogs in London. I think they are learning for some of these hard knocks they've had along the road. I think they are getting mature. We're getting to Dele Alli, but his performance is an example of how mature they're getting. I get your take on this, Rob, because watching the second half, and it's not just today, there's other games where I've looked at Spurs and I thought, you know what? They have a good footballing side. I think I might have mentioned this before. They're becoming like an Arsenal, like a Man City's a stretch, of course, but a footballing philosophy, not just of balance. We've talked about balance with Spurs. We've talked about a very good work ethic and the high press and everything else. I think they're moving forward from that to incorporate like really technical players, clever tactical changes that you made today at halftime, and just a focus on let's get the ball down and play. I thought the goals came from long ball over the top where they've been playing so much to feet.
Yeah.
Then the third goal was a ball, we're getting to the goals, into Eriksen who whipped it around the corner, some brilliant football. So I think that was like, wow, football today is the winner over Chelsea that looked stronger in the first half but just got overwhelmed by the football from Spurs in the second half and thoroughly deserved the 3-1 victory. Dele Alli, Christian Eriksen, I thought were the star players. We saw Harry Kane late on, Rob, but I agree. And I think, you know, I had doubts today, Rob, and that's why I thought, you know what,
Chelsea might just
nick it. Mm. But Spurs proved me wrong, and I'm like clear in my mind right now where the Spurs team is and also, by the way, where the Chelsea side is too.
Yeah, and you know, I had that for, I said, you know, probably draw, but if I was going one way, I just felt with Spurs because I just felt that, and I thought it was proven in the result. Three goals away at Chelsea and Harry Kane was not necessarily needed. Yeah. I think he got him on the pitch to get him, you know, over that, like the injuries there. Now everybody can stop talking about it. He did quite well when he came on, when he's held up play, in fairness, in his link play. But you're right. And I look back over the last, let's say, three or four seasons, Rob. Spurs have been more consistent than Chelsea, and they've been more consistent than Arsenal. Chelsea have won titles in that time, but then have dropped out, have dropped way out the picture one time, dropping out of the picture again this time around. Arsenal haven't won titles for so long, have always been top four, have dropped out of the top of that sort of position. Spurs have come from sort of finding the way into the top six to now being part of that top four and being more consistent. The more history teams, more winning teams, and everybody's going to go back to, and I know the argument will be, yeah, but they've won titles and won silverware, and that is an argument for another day.
Yeah.
But just talking of development of football club, development of a group of players, Spurs are developing in a better way and a more mature
impressive
way.
Rob. I mean, impressive, by the way. I mean, I'll go back to...
Let's just compare what's happening at Chelsea and what's happening at Spurs. And if you were right now a neutral saying you've got a chance to support one team, you're going to go and support Spurs.
No-brainer. It's a
absolutely no-brainer.
No-brainer. Also given, that goes to my point, and I think I've said this many times, that they're doing this, Rob, on a salary that's sixth of the top six. They're doing this on a budget. And I think we did some stats. I think since Poch has been there, by the way, their net spend... Okay, it's $50 million. That's over like, what's he? I mean, that's 2 or 3 years, isn't it?
Three years now.
That's so it's incredible how they're doing it. Let's just go through the goals, Rob, because I think it's interesting because there's a few disagreements between our different studio situations about the goals. Should Willy Caballero have saved Christian Eriksen's incredible strike from 30 yards?
Should he have? No. Could he? On a brilliant day for him, right. I'm not so sure. Let me tell you who might save it. And I would say there's probably one goalkeeper in the week, David De Gea, who's got an unbelievable reaction and cat-like spring, might, and I'm saying capital M, might, have got near it. I was probably a little bit more stronger maybe than you and Kawa, where I thought Graham and Lee did Eriksen a huge disservice.
Yeah.
The shot was a piece of brilliance.
Yeah,
and you know what? Maybe I was thinking about it is, you know what? They're defenders and they don't take any pride, particularly in goals. They don't want goals going in. The first thing when a shot goes is, keeper should have saved that. What are you doing, goalkeeper? And, you know, they've had the likes of David Seaman and the likes behind them.
Yeah.
But my first thought when I saw it, and if that's a goal I've scored, if I'm Christian Eriksen who came to the... to the touchline bench after. I don't want you talking about the goalkeeper, by the way. Mm. That is a brilliant piece of football. Mm. He's hit a ball that looks like it's going
four or five yards
over the touchline. It dips, it moves, it swerves, it flies past the goalkeeper. I'm not having it. I thought it was a brilliant bit of football by a player who's moved on this season, who's grown, who's starting to take the responsibility of a team.
Yeah, it's funny because I tweeted our pal Shaka Hislop, obviously a tremendously experienced international and Premier League goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And Kyle tweeted Tim Howard.
Tim Howard, didn't he?
Yeah. And we both said, should he have got that shot from Eriksen? And they both basically said, no way. I mean, Tim Howard was like strong on it, like, really? Yeah. Who thinks he should have saved that? Because if you, and Shaka, by the way, said maybe De Gea and Courtois, maybe. But I don't know if you saw it, Rob. We showed, I think, only once a side angle of the a replay on that. And the ball, it showed the ball going in to just underneath the crossbar. It looked like a 30-degree angle. So it's coming from higher.
Also the speed, Rob. Yes. Not just the movement, the speed. The speed means you've got very little time to move,
react.
Way. Yeah. It's not like a chip over a free kick and it's got a height and it's sort of bending. Mm. This went with some velocity. I mean, no way.
Okay.
Defenders not having it.
Okay, so we agreed on that one. Now, the Delhi's second goal.
Yeah.
When the ball's over the top and he brings it down. Caballero, I think it was Lee Dixon again, was thought, you know what, his position's not very good there. He can meet that ball as it comes down. What do you think on that one?
Again, listen, those were, maybe Comp couldn't make those runs as well as Dele had, but that was the kind of run I would make, you know, from deep running through midfield. Yeah. And I always would always get a first thought, goalkeeper's going to come on this one, or goalkeeper's not, or goalkeeper's not. My first thought there was brilliant run, brilliant timing, exquisite first touch that nullified the goalkeeper and a superb finish. I think if Caballero comes, one of two things happens. Dele Alli knocks it straight over his head into the goal and we're saying, why is he making that decision? Or otherwise, I think Caballero may have jumped into Dele Alli, a little bit like we saw Karius yesterday with Hazard, could well have given a free kick away, penalty away in the situation. So, again, I wasn't as strong. Lee went quite big on it. My first thought was brilliant run, great ball, good forward play, and an outstanding finish.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, to bring that ball down and to take it in stride on the half volley, clips the post, I mean, that's really, really top class. And we saw that run from Dele Alli, Rob, last season, and maybe a little bit earlier than that. Remember, he made a lot of these runs with those long balls. He brings them down and finishes them off really well. Just finally on the last goal for the Chelsea conceded, looked a little bit Keystone Cops, a little bit all over the place. Got in behind, they couldn't clear the ball. I guess in summary, these Spurs goals, are they more about Chelsea's deficiencies in terms of the goalkeeper today and defensively, or was it more about Spurs' excellence, great football, and kind of persistent finishing?
Do you know what? What we love to do is look at the goalkeeper and the defending. Do you know what? Let's give Spurs a little bit of credit today.
I'm with you. Yeah,
let's give Spurs a bit of credit. It's a place they haven't been 2-1. It's a place they're 1-0 down. It's a place that Chelsea are looking like they may go and get a second. And listen, what I would have liked from the defending is whoever was around the ball, clear it out, clear your mate out, clear the goalkeeper out, clear the kitchen sink, everything in Rosette if you have to. Maybe that's a little bit of learning for the likes of Christensen, for the likes of Rudiger, who's still, you know, finding the way, Rob, in this Chelsea team. But today was all about praise for Spurs. I think we're doing Spurs a huge disservice if we just roll over and start talking about Chelsea.
Yeah, I agree. And before the game, I looked at the team sheets, because you always try and think of, okay, what's going to be key today. And I saw Hazard and Willian in kind of the in-between positions, and I saw Eriksen, Dele and Lamella. And of course, at the end of the game, who affected it most? Christian Eriksen. And Dele Alli. From all the playmakers on the field today, those two were the stars. We've got to talk about Dele Alli, because certainly me, I think you as well, have been critical of what he's done this season. His attitude looks a little bit off. We know he lost his kind of place with the England national team, and there's reports of his attitude not being to Gareth Southgate's kind of approval there. But he did not answer any critics today. The 21-year-old turned up with a performance that's pretty special from a higher position.
Yeah, and in all honesty, Robert, I have been critical, but I was also one of those who say, you've got to leave him in. It's not the time to take him out, because I don't think he's that kid. I don't think he react well to not be having the manager's arm and the confidence. And Pochettino's done a brilliant job. And we're forgetting he's 21 years of age. He's played 100 Premier League appearances now, by the way. I know we keep talking about Harry Kane and the goal record. Let's just say this guy decides to stay in the Premier League for his whole career. We're talking about 600-700 appearances he could get if he goes all the way. I mean, the goals is still very, very good, despite him not having a great season this season. His upside's still so good for me that he would start in England's first 11. I think he's one of those that could now hit a bit of form into now at the end of the season. It's a massive bonus for Spurs. It's a massive bonus for his football club. And do you know what, Rob? The dressing rooms are different people. You've had them. You've been with Gazzers and Mersons and that. And not every pro's the same. Not everybody is studious. Not everyone's in on time and doing the weights and watching what they eat and that. But there's some guys who are different who are match winners. There's some guys who don't put up with, but are part of the makeup of the dressing room.
Yeah.
And Dele Alli might be a bit different. Everybody tells you about his background, where he was brought up. He was a street footballer. And he brings a bit of that to the game, and he brings a bit of that to the stage and the drama. And you know what? He's a character, and as long as he can keep a lid on the emotions, I haven't got a problem with that.
Do you know what's fascinating, Rob? And I'm sure you heard the Pochettino interview afterwards.
Yeah,
basically saying, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, he needs to feel the trust of the manager. Yeah. And it's absolutely incredible. Me and Carl were talking about it afterwards, how two managers are doing it differently. Maybe his attitude isn't brilliant. And maybe, to your point, maybe his form has been not as you'd expect it to be or hoped it to be. Pochettino's saying, get out there, Dele. I trust you.
Yeah.
Get out there. Go and play. Now, he goes with England. And if attitude isn't maybe as impeccable as some of the others, Gareth Southgate's on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Well, hang on a minute. You can't train like that. Or no, you're not going to play. You're going to sit. So two, same player, two different situations. And I guess maybe the Spurs demand on him is different to an England demand going into a World Cup that might want a bit more of insurances about his attitude or doing something stupid. So it's just fascinating, isn't it? The juxtaposition of the way he's being treated with two different clubs and two different situations from Premier League to a World Cup campaign.
And I do think it's also two different situations. One's the day-to-day. Poch sees him every day in, day out, knows what he's like with his teammates. When you go on international duty, you're going away to impress the manager. You know, you're in there with the best players of all the other teams from that nation. All the players are looking for that first 11. It's a whole different feel. And so Poch can manage him one way. Gareth may, manage him another. But I still think Dele Alli has to be on the pitch, whether he's white of England or the white of Tottenham, to get the best out of him. I'm not sure he's one of those kids who's going to react brilliantly to sitting his backside down and being told, you'll learn a lesson.
I felt something changed today with Tottenham Hotspur. And maybe I'm chucking in a little bit of knee reaction here, or knee-jerk reaction.
Bit of Earl reaction.
A bit of Earl knee-jerk.
I just feel like we've
criticised Spurs for, I've said it, put it in, as a way of like, the hardest thing in sports is to close a deal. Given this performance, given this powerful and commanding result, do you feel now more confident than you've ever been that Spurs, with focus on the FA Cup, can go ahead? I mean, they've got the advantage of it being for home games for them, by the way, the semi-final if they get to the final.
Yeah.
I just feel they're ready to win now, mate.
But let me tell you, if they get to the final and lose, it's going to be a massive disappointment because they won a trophy. But this club's still moving forward. This club's still going in the right direction.
But anything different for you? Do you feel from this game?
Listen, there's a belief that when days like today, that's why I thought they would win, if there was a winner, they'd win today. Days like today, this young group, Dele Alli, would be going home and saying, sick of this press, I'm sick of reading about myself, I'm sick of people saying, and Harry Kane's not playing, the Harry Kane team, doesn't turn up, Lamella, I thought, was excellent today. He got on the edge
He's a toughie, by the way.
He put his foot in. He looked like he was at Dembele again, put in another sterling performance. Christian Eriksen,
Dyer was good as well, the holding role.
I just think, Rob, some of these players are probably sick of hearing all the criticism. They're sick of being told they're not. And they're starting to show that they can deliver. And a trophy would be a good way of showing everybody externally what's going on in the football club. Because Poch talked about something else that I thought was huge, about the group and the feeling and the togetherness in the group that's so important, the spirit. And I just get the sense they're going in the right direction. And I know we also just want to touch on one player who's not maybe been part of things so much since he's come back, Alderweireld, who's played internationally under Roberto Martinez for Belgium, played 90 minutes there, so he's fit. A lot of talk about him not signing a contract or not being offered the kind of money he wants. Is Pochettino taking the hard line with him, Rob?
I think you can kind of file this away with the way that he's acted with Kyle Walker. wanting to leave the football club. Danny Rose, who's made some comments about, you know, about wages a little bit and other clubs and situations of leaving the team. And I think it's one of those. Toby Alderweireld, if you don't see your future at Spurs, if you're going to mess around and not sign a new contract and you get on the wrong side of that manager, Mauricio Pochettino, I think, you know, the end is nigh. I think there's a ruthless part about him, about this. And what's impressive, Rob, is that you could say, you know, we could say maybe a year ago, or maybe a little bit more, Kyle Walker and Danny Rose, really important players of this team.
Yeah.
If you start to lose those type of players, you're going to move backwards. Well, you haven't. I mean, Ben Davis and Kieran Trippier have done an amazing job, which again speaks of the decision-making and the ability to improve players that Pochettino is bringing to the club.
It's really interesting you say that, because when we went to Spurs a couple of years ago, I know one of the heads of the academy there, I did some coaching work with him, John McDermott, and he said to me it was really interesting how good Pochettino is, how he involves all his staff in his thinking and his strategy and what he wants. But he said, don't get the wrong side of this fella, by the way. He absolutely is ruthless if you get the wrong side of him. And I think, testament to what you say, the likes of Kyle Walker, if you think you're a bit bigger than this club, you've grown too far, or you're probably demanding too much, I'm sure he likes ambition, but I'm not sure if you do it in the wrong way that you stay on the right side of him. And that's one maybe we'll watch this space as it goes along, that maybe in time Alderweireld might be surplus to requirements and Spurs move on. Just quickly, let's finish on Chelsea, Rob, because that's where the issues seem to be. We talked about it last week, and I said then that a defeat for Chelsea in not the right manner could spell the end of Antonio Conte. We don't know what the owner's thinking and the people who are upstairs at Chelsea at the moment, but doesn't feel right to me, Rob. The football club, for all the ability that's there, doesn't feel right.
Well, okay, so that's a great place to start, if you like. All the ability that's there, the club doesn't feel right. That's your kind of vibe. It's interesting because afterwards, Antonio Conte basically said that this is the truth. This is where we're at. This is kind of accurate to where we are in terms of the season right now. And it made me think, you know what? I think he's absolutely right. I think he's absolutely right. This team, and this team isn't the same team as last year. There's personnel differences. We know that. David Luiz, Nemanja Matic and Diego Costa. It's not the same team. They're not as good. Spurs have got better. Liverpool have got better. Man United have got better. Man City are ridiculous. So how do you expect, you know, we shouldn't expect Chelsea automatically to be closer to the top of the table. I think he's right. I don't think it's an Antonio Conte problem. I think it's a team problem, a squad problem, a football club problem that hasn't strengthened, improved the team to enable them to compete at the very top. Now, is there been a drop-off for the manager as well? Can you put some blame at his door? Maybe a little bit, but for the most, for me, is that this team is a fifth-place team right now, and I don't see, my opinion of Antonio Conte doesn't fall off a cliff because of what he did last year and what's happening this year. The team isn't as good. I think he's absolutely right.
I disagree. In part, I understand what you're saying, but if you bring Christensen in and think it's the right time, then that's your decision. If you bring Rudiger in to change from the back three, listen, you've got Moses Alonso from title winning team, you've got Cesc, you've got Conte from title winning, you've got Willian and Hazard, Pedro when you need him, you've got Morata up top. Listen, Rob, that was good enough at the start of the season to be top four.
You can't say
okay, they might not win title. That's top four. I think the manager has not done his reputation any favours in the last half of the season. From the moment he's not been happy, he's almost made it a point to say, look, exactly what you're saying, we're not good enough. Yeah, and I look at some of the players in, and I would say, I was thinking about the subs and people who signed. Drinkwater, Giroud, Barkley, Morata, question mark, Jones, Bakayoko, not champions. They're not champions. So I'm okay with some of those.
What do you mean? That's not his fault then, if the players come in and
not
champion.
No, but I'm not
players.
Saying, hold on, because I had this argument with you before about the players, and you're saying, you know, Drinkwater's a good player and this is a good player.
For a squad situation, not to kick on and be as dominant as he wants him
no,
to be.
No, I'm not going to say kick on, but you're telling me they should be only 10 points above Burnley. and 10 points behind some of the top
teams
like Liverpool.
I just think, Rob, they've
underperformed, Rob, with this group of players. This group of players should still be top four.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how you can say that this squad... And by the way, I think you're right. I think that some of the signings were his decisions, mm-hmm. okay? So when we're talking about... I'm saying that this team isn't a top four team, some of it lies on his door because I'm sure he had influence, though he doesn't say that he has total influence on players coming in. I get that. Morata, I would think, has to be one of his signings that hasn't worked out. But I still disagree with you when you think that this current squad is better than Spurs, Liverpool, Manchester United and City. It's easy to say top four, Rob, but when you get to it, they're not better than City. Man United.
When we did our predictions at the beginning of the season, where did you have Chelsea?
I had him in the top four. And I told you, and I said it at the time.
On what basis?
The basis was that Alvaro Morata was going to be really good. And I said it right in the first show with Rebecca Lowe. I said, you know what? This season for Chelsea depends on one guy. It depends on Alvaro Morata. And I question whether he's got the spirit, the physicality to handle the Premier League. But I'm going with that he will.
Okay.
And they should be a top four side.
Valid point. He wasn't the difference today. He was. He scored a goal. He wasn't.
He could have done better.
Of course, he could have done better. But Antonio Conte has not managed this group as well as he managed the group to win the title. Now, managing this group might have been top four. That might have been title-winning season for this season. Last season, with what he had, he won the title. I still think there's been a drop-off at the football club, and it's a reason that I don't think he's happy. I think he knows he's not going to be there, and sooner or later there's going to be a parting of the ways. And then, it was interesting, after the game, he was asked why, you know, this team won the title last season, have sort of struggled this year. And he comes out with some cryptic things that don't particularly help him or the situation, where he says, I have my opinions, but I don't want to tell them now. Almost like, you know, there's stuff going on that you guys don't understand. When I'm not here, when I've left, then I'll tell you what's going on. Well, if you were a player, Rob, in that situation, when they were going for titles, there was none of that negativity around. There was none of that from him. He was a leader of the football club. I don't think he's led in the same manner now. Maybe he's been disappointed. Maybe he's had promises. We don't know. Maybe he feels the group ain't good enough. But if the group ain't good enough, this is a top-class manager, by the way. Leicester City have won titles with players who couldn't get anywhere near this football team.
I mean, should we also mention, Rob, the players that were there before when they won the title under Mourinho and disappointed in the season after. I think there's an element of that. In summary, I think probably, you know, like in most arguments, I think the somewhere in between is probably right. Has Antonio Conte done as good a job as last season, even though his squad's not as good? Probably not. Is the team as good as last year? In my opinion, no, they're not. And I think the players that have been there for a while, they think they do have a natural drop-off, not to drive every week, that there's something special happening like there was last year, and they go on and win a title. I think there's a mixture of the three there. And just in terms of his future, you know, I agree with you. I think this totally depends on what the relationship is like between Antonio Conte and the board of directors. Because if it's not a good one, if it's awkward and they don't get on particularly well, he could absolutely go in the next few days. Yeah. Or it might not be. It might be.
Why keep him there? Why keep it toxic? Why have relationship?
If it's toxic.
By the way, Courtois hasn't signed yet. Eden Hazard hasn't signed yet. They need to start getting down to that kind of business and nail those kind of players down. Is Antonio Conte going to be the guy who's going to be negotiating with them? There's all that to come in. And my final thing with Chelsea, Rob, and this is a long-term thing. And listen, Chelsea have won plenty of silverware over the time. But are Chelsea's team set up to continually have success with rotating managers, with the kind of... I wouldn't say personalities, because that means it sounds a slur, but with the kind of makeup of the players at this football team?
I think they can. You know, sadly, in some ways, I think they can. It's been a long period of time now where Roman Abramovich has switched his managers in a ruthless fashion, and they've kept winning titles. If the pattern continues, he will leave this football club at some point and somebody else will come in. Abramovich might say, you know what, let's go for this player and that player for big, big money, and the whole thing kicks on again. That's the interesting part, and that's what you know, we spoke about a little bit today about the future of Chelsea. And Kyle Martino is just a little word that maybe it isn't going to continue, and there could be some trouble ahead for Chelsea, but we'll have to see. But I just thought today it was pretty definite. Like, my head is clear now where these two clubs are, the direction that they're going in, and very, very impressive from Tottenham Hotspur. And Chelsea, like, they faded away in other big games, they faded away today, and there will be changes going on at this club.
enough about this Bitport game anyway. The big game was at the Emirates. Sexy Stoke were in town. Paul Lambert's trying to ride this train and keep them in the Premier League. And again, Rob, my worry for Stoke is that Stoke have still got some fight in them, but unfortunately, if they're not careful, the fight's going to be taking place in the Championship. They've had a number of games now, certainly of the last 4 or 5 weeks, where, as a fan, I think you'd say, well, the players are having a go. Things haven't particularly gone their own way, whether it's their own fault making mistakes, whether it's refereeing decisions, as we can look at today. The likes of maybe your star man, Shaqiri, coming out and saying a few things a couple of days before a big game, I don't think is helpful. But again, it was one of them, and all my friends from the Stoke area there are saying, you know, Paul Lambert's done okay. But done okay, Rob. Still, they're sitting second bottom of the table. The only thing in their favour is that there's not a gap. And they're 3 points away from sort of getting themselves out of trouble and giving themselves a chance.
I think there could be a gap next weekend. They play Spurs at home, Spurs. Which, you know, is another extremely difficult game with Spurs confidence sky high. I'm a little bit like you, Rob. I keep hearing from the manager. And, of course, there's a lot of validity to a lot of this because there was some decisions and some really bad individual mistakes. But then again, that's the players that they've got right now.
Yeah.
And again, we're playing well enough to win. I'm really happy with the lads. These are stuff that I've listened to now from him in lots of press conferences, and you've got to be positive and you've got to say this sort of things, but keep saying we're good enough to win games, we're going to be okay. Like it's like, well, come on, you've got to win. The team it can't get over the line, it can't win a game. And I just think that like you, when you consider their run-in, they've got Liverpool away as well in this run-in. I mean, Burnley at home, it's never an easy match. Swansea away is the last game of the season. I think now, when you're looking at it, and of course the more evidence we get, the more weeks of the season goes on, you get more evidence, you get more kind of opinion about what's happening. I don't think Stoke City are going to manage it, Rob. I think they're going to go down. I think they're going to run out of games. I think the attacking quality has not been there. The Shaqiri quotes, it's not helpful. I'm again hoping for Stoke fans that it gets nipped in the bud by the manager and it's kind of forgotten about a little bit. I have experience.
Let me tell you what the hope is.
With
Stoke is that Southampton, I don't know who they are, what they are right now. Crystal Palace might have had their run early. Huddersfield Town have still got a few bad days.
Yeah, they're question mark.
That gives you hope if you're Stoke City that despite this run, I think they've won one away game all season. They've got 27 points. They're 3 from the safety line.
Yeah.
And if things go their way, they can still find their way out of trouble. They still could be in there. And I've got a feeling they've got, is it West Brom, the last game of the season? I've got a feeling it's something like that. They've given themselves a chance for the last day of the season.
Are you talking about Stoke? Swansea City away last
Swansea
game.
Swansea City.
Crystal
Swansea
Palace.
City.
The Palace. The,
might
the
have to go there. Might have to go to Swansea and win. Yeah. Do you know what? I think you take that.
Do you? Yeah, I don't know. I think we know it's going to be tight. We've talked about this all season long. 31 points goes up to 15th place, which is Swansea. I think West Ham on 33 will find a way with that kind of morale-boosting victory. Yeah. They'll find a way to get another result or two to
Swansea,
stay up.
I think
Brighton and Hove Albion, 34 points right now. Again, I think they're okay. And Newcastle United, we spoke about them yesterday on the Two Robbers Football Show. I think they're safe on 35, so it's the Swansea, Huddersfield, Palace, Southampton, Stoke and West Brom are just about done and dusted. It's going to be
how about your luck though, Rob, when you're down there, Bruno Martins Indy with the challenge on Ozil. Honestly, not that obviously I've got affinity to Stoke or anything, but my first view was he got the ball, didn't he? Didn't he poke the ball? Then I see the other side and I see it again, and I just think, I mean, game changer. The whole thing goes from there. Liverpool, Arsenal get a lift, start playing with a little bit more freedom. Stoke go the other way, and you know, a 3-0 scoreline that didn't really feel like a 3-0 as it happened. But again, it's 3 more goals conceded by Stoke. It's another demoralising defeat. They'll be back on the road up to the Midlands, and they've got to brush themselves down now, and they face Spurs, who've generally stuck 4 past them, haven't they, over the last few times?
Yeah, I mean, that penalty, I mean, just finally on that, the referee's position, by the way, was was... I mean, he's looking through about four or five
plays. He's trying to run around and look for... Yeah,
it's
absolute guess.
It's
and because he's seen the foot go up and one connect, he's thinking he's contact. But there's no way he can be sure that that's a penalty kick.
Just back on the Jordan Shaqiri comments, Rob, about the team lacking
quality around him.
And it's going to be hard for me, I'm talking about him, to be motivated next season or get enthused about playing for the club. I mean, the manager quickly came out and said this was 4 months ago and it's a long time ago now. Of course, the press are going to hold stuff back like this.
Yeah, of course they do.
I mean, quickly on it, mate. I mean, can the manager, Paul Lambert, and the squad kind of swallow it a little bit and say, you know what, let's forget about that now. Let's get on with it. Or is it going to be there to fester away?
There's something there, Rob. It sticks with you a little bit. If I'm the guy behind him running up and down, doing his leg work and saying, come on, win us a game, and then he's coming out with that, I've got to tell you, at some point, he's going in the headlock. He's going in a headlock and I'm squeezing him a little bit and saying, oh, you. And then if need be, do you know what? If it ain't right and Paul Lambert gets a sense of that, get him out. Get him out. Go down with people fighting if he's too big, if he doesn't want to put the effort in. And it was interesting because, you know, when Mark Hughes was there, there was a little bit of gossip going around in the area. There was one or two players who were thinking that too good for this team and that maybe if they go down, it gets a chance to go away. There was a little bit of a feel about that, three or four players in the Stoke team. And obviously this has come out with Shaqiri now, who's their best player, who's their big hope in games. A little bit of pressure on him now to get his head down and perform between now and the end of the season. He's got a World Cup coming up as well. But I don't like any of that, Rob. You know, listen, people can have 10 times more ability than me and I'll do 10 times the work they do. But you know what? We're in this together. Don't start giving it us and them and I'm a little bit better.
It's funny, isn't it? Because Southampton are similar as well, where these teams aren't built for relegation fights.
No, they're not.
They're built to be more proactive, to be more attractive. You bring in Afolai, you bring Shaqiri, you bring in Sada Berahino and Boyan that went away.
You're
kind of going down a road that's really good if it all works out. But if it starts to go
rocky
a little bit pear-shaped, those players are starting to get on the phone with their agents. Mm. They're not up for a fight of a relegation. I think that's what shocking the club at Stoke City and maybe now Southampton as well to say, wow, we're not used to this, ready for this, and they're not doing a very good job at the moment of getting away from it.
You look at the bottom three, Rob, you make a really good point. West Brom, Stoke and Southampton should generally be 9th, 10th and 11th in the league. That's where they should be. Absolutely, you know, they're talking about holidays now and whatever. Three established teams, as you said, who've maybe... You know, there's something about the league. When you've been in it for 5 or 6 years, it's like, well, what's our ambition now? Just staying in it's not good enough. Mm. And it's when I hear that conversation, wow, we got to take the next step. We're looking to take that next step,
it's
I'm telling
risky.
You. Can it's be slippy.
Step.
It can be a slippy, slippy step.
Just on Arsenal, Rob, just Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, again, he's a sharp dude. His ratio, he's had a really good start now when you consider his goals. 4 goals in 3, I think it is, for him. I mean, he looked sharp today. Arsenal, slow starting, but found a way, didn't they, to win this game quite comfortably?
Yeah, and I think the Arsenal thing was the old minds on Thursday night, which is bigger, which is more important. And I think that gets through to you as a player. Mm. I was always the same. I hated when there was a big game coming up and the manager would put a little bit more onus on that. Every game's important. I want to play well, get my rhythm, nick a goal, be ready for the big game. I think it was a case of that. You could see it with the fans. Not much noise being generated at the Emirates. They'll turn up for Thursday night against Moscow. But you're right, Aubameyang is going to be a big miss for Europa because obviously next season they're talking about if he'd move clubs, he'd be able to play in that competition, which doesn't particularly help Arsenal this time. Thought it was important, Lacazette getting on the pitch, and I liked the stories that have come out that Aubameyang said he'd got a couple. He knew Lacazette's confidence was maybe a little bit low and gave him the opportunity. That's the complete opposite of Shaqiri. That's not about him saying, let me get the hat-trick, and which would have been his first hat-trick for Arsenal. That's him understanding a teammate who may be struggling for goals, has had to take a little bit of a backward step. I like that, and I think that puts Arsenal in good stead.
Yeah, just on Arsenal, Rob, and you mentioned the Europa League during the week on Thursday. Of course, they got CSKA Moscow at home.
Yeah.
Just going on the Europe, Rob, moving on now. Champions League, Tuesday. Juventus versus Real Madrid and Sevilla versus Bayern Munich on the Wednesday. We've got Liverpool versus Manchester City, Barcelona, Roma. Just give us a quick... I mean, let's start off with the All Premier League clash. Let's get a quick prediction here and how you think this is going to go. I mean, we've seen Liverpool beat Man City before. I think Man City, again, was stunning yesterday with some of the goals, some of the performances. I mean, it's a different competition. It's a different format. Home and away, two legs. It is different. Are we... it's hard for me to go against Man City when what we've seen. But if there's one team, particularly in England, that can beat them, it's Liverpool. What do you think?
Well, you know me, and I'm kind of always going the other way.
Well, be honest, Rob. What do you really feel?
I really feel that over two legs, Liverpool have a chance. That's what I really feel.
Well, of course, they've got a chance, but I guess...
Yeah, but you're telling me how's the game going to go. Just like today, it will be decided on moments and players who take that. But the things that give me... The reasons I get my feelings about stuff is that... There's a couple of things. Liverpool don't fear the Mike Tyson effect that other people fear with Man City. Oh, we're playing Man City like Everton. How are we going to stop them? They're going to dominate the ball. One, they've beaten them already this season. That helps. Two, they've got a manager who's beaten Pep and been against Pep's team, who's been in Europe and won big games. So Jurgen Klopp will come with a plan. If the plan starts to work in game one, I think Man City have a problem in game two, because if they come out and go too attacking, Liverpool are brilliant on the counter-attack. Part of my question to Man City is, can they defend? We don't know, because we've never really had to see them defend for long periods in games. But I'm asking, I think that Liverpool might ask some defensive questions of City that... Listen, Vincent Kompany has his moments. Otamendi's been brilliant this season, but we've seen a different Otamendi. Laporte still coming into the team if he can play. They're still, you know, Kyle Walker's a better attacker than defender, although he played well for England. So there's enough there for me with Jurgen Klopp, with Anfield, with Liverpool beating them to say, you know what, over two games, I'm going to just go for Liverpool for some reason, just to go against the grain.
I think Liverpool do have the antidote to Man City and Pep football. The antidote isn't parking the bus too much.
No.
It isn't with systems. It isn't man-to-man marking. It's absolutely working your socks off and having the physicality, the stamina to hustle, to work,
press,
to close down,
back,
to press, to win the ball back. And then you're going to get the things you've just talked about.
Now can you play?
Can you give them a problem? Which they absolutely can give them the problem. Mm. I've just written down here, they need the ball. And that's the thing. City cherish it. They look after it. They penetrate when they've got it. If Liverpool, as they did in the league game when they beat them, can be that strong for that amount of time and finish. Remember Sadio Mane's goal?
Yeah,
he smashed in the top corner.
I
mean, they did everything that you have to do and still only just won the match. So I get it. And I think that's why it's going to be fascinating. Pep's going to try and do the same thing, and it won't be a sit back. It'll be all guns blazing. I think, you know, we've got the main positions in the Premier League really now, to be honest, mate. City are going to win it. Liverpool are going to be top four. So this is going to be magnificent football. Must
apart
watch
from the two derbies in between that don't come at great times, which are great games.
God. Yeah, I know. And Pep's already said that, I'm afraid, his words like, you know, I can't focus on the United game. I've got to put my full resources into the two Liverpool matches. So we'll see. But I think City, you think for Liverpool. Just on the other ones, quick, Rob. Juventus versus Real Madrid. I'm going with Juventus.
I'm going with Madrid. And I know Juventus have had it over them recently. Good record and played well. We've seen them defensively against, but I just think Madrid, last chance saloon.
They're not as good though, Rob, are they?
They've got one night magic in them, Rob. Yeah. I still think they've got one night magic for me. So just going to go for nostalgia and Zidane and go for Madrid.
Yeah, I think the Grinders are going to win. That's one up for the Grinders. I think Juve are going to win that. Sevilla versus Bayern Munich.
Only one.
Yeah.
Only
one. Bayern Munich. Yeah.
Bayern are a little better than Man United. 6-0, wasn't it, a weekend against Dortmund?
Yeah, so I think they go through there. Barcelona versus Roma, and, you know,
probably tie.
I think
only
we have
one
to,
winner.
I think Roma have done an amazing job over recent years, by the way, to get to these stages and to improve like they've done, and still sold some of their best players, Mohamed Salah being the most recent one. Yeah, Barcelona for that one. And that's it. Yeah, that's it. So that's what we think. So that's it. So Man City for me, Liverpool for you.
I'm going to go Liverpool to throw one in. I'm going to go Madrid. You're going to go Juve. We both go Bayern.
Yeah, we both go Barcelona.
We both go Barcelona.
And Arsenal, no problems in the Europa League quarterfinal?
Should be okay. I mean, get a good enough result in the first one, they can afford to take it a little bit easier, make sure they're defensively right in the second one. But
difficult to go to Russia, Rob, sometimes.
Yeah, always difficult to travel and second leg. So that's why you've got to take care of business, and I think they will It'd be good to go maybe with 2-3 goal lead, and then they've got enough of team opening up. They'll always nick one on the counter attack. So I see that. I see the concentration now. It looks like the fans have decided that's the competition. I think the players mentally, it's starting to be like, you know what, let's just get through the Premier League games, do what we need to do. But all the focus is on Europa. There was a bit of focus on a certain guy in Los Angeles this weekend, Robbie Musto. So it was the first LA Derby, El Trafico, I think they were calling it. Los Angeles FC against LA Galaxy. The first time the two had met in MLS football. Now, listen, for people like us who live in America who enjoy watching MLS, it's a game that we were all keen to see. I think because of a certain individual, Mr. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, it became a game that the world was more interested in. And as ever, at 3-0 down, the LA Galaxy were losing into the second half. Guess who comes on at 3-1 and changes the whole game?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. And first of all, by the way, I got no problem with El Trafico because I visited you last week and I went from blimmin' Santa Monica down to Newport Beach. It took me blimmin' 2.5 hours to get there. It's only about 20-odd miles.
So. There we go. I knew it was coming all sooner or later. The musty moan. We got the musty moan out of the way. Now let's talk about Zlatan, by the way, and what he brings to MLS.
He's amazing, isn't he? I mean, the bravado, the confidence, the press conferences. You know, I'm here to win. I'm the lion. I'm the man. I mean, it's pretty amazing that he backs up such incredible words with performances. I think it's almost every club, isn't it? He scored on his debut, in a competitive match. He did it again. Ridiculous. I mean, the volley is a stunning bit of football there. Embarrassingly good. And I got to say, of course, the weekend, there's so many games to watch. I'll be honest with you. I watched as soon as he was warming up, and the atmosphere in that stadium, and the way the players reacted, it was great theatre. And to come on and to be as impactful and score a stunning, ridiculous goal from miles away, and then get the winning goal with a brave header. I gotta say, I loved it. I think it's going to give MLS a huge boost. I think the football was really good. Again, I looked mostly at the last 20 minutes. LAFC have been a fantastic addition, and what they're doing in that club with their new stadium coming on board end of April, and the training ground that's almost ready, is going to be really exciting. And this derby, I mean, you want to create a rivalry and a derby and a reason for people in that area, and by the way, all across the United States to want to watch that game. It was that match, and Big Zlatan did it. Now, whether he can continue to be as effective with his knee problems and his fitness, I mean, it looked like he was breathing out of his you-know-what. He was struggling because it was that quick, and it was kind of warm.
He's a lion, he's fine.
But he's a lion, and it was just a stunning, I thought it was a stunning match.
It was, and it was interesting, Rob, because you start thinking about some of those big-name DP signings who've come into the league. You know, David Beckham probably ranks up there with the very highest. And I was thinking about what each has brought to him. For me, David Beckham brought kind of a responsibility. It's like he understood what this league was, how important he was to it, carried himself in such a way, played with a real dedication, saw a lot of him. Thierry Henry, I thought, Thierry came and was invested in it, Rob. You know, anytime you talked about him, he knew about teams, he knew about systems, he knew everything about the league. Yeah. David Villa has just come in, almost just been that same professional that he was in Spain, scoring goals for club and country, just kind of continues what he does. I think David Villa is a great example to any kid who's coming up in the league.
Yeah, absolutely.
Giovinco was an interesting one because I think he bucked the trend. I think he started to show maybe the younger player, a 26, 27, 28, you know what, you can go to MLS and still have a good career and still be playing high-level football and maybe still be playing international football. And then they talk about Valderrama, who was one of the first. He was probably like a pioneer back in the day, wasn't he? Who you know, came from Colombian football.
Incredible footballer.
South American. And then I'm thinking of Zlatan. Where does Zlatan fit? And for me, Rob, the biggest thing he's going to do, and I think he'll have his moments on the pitch, he's going to be a headline maker. Whatever he does, whatever he says, and that can only be good for Major League Soccer. Whether it's in England, whether it's in Asia, whether it's in Russia, whether it's in South America, people will be interested in the Major League Soccer because of what Zlatan does and what Zlatan says.
I mean, again, this is... you know, in danger of overreacting to this first situation. But already, with what he's done in that derby, in his debut, his first game, and the drama and the hype that led into this game, is he almost right at the top of this list to how he can boost MLS in general? Now, David Beckham,
he's got a bit of a way to go with Beckham,
yeah,
to
with
be
Beckham.
Honest. I think, yeah, Beckham,
but as an immediate impact
to another level
and a boost for this league all over the world, by the way, because that, that goal, the volley from 40 yards, that's going to be all around the world because he's such a superstar player. I mean, he's a proper superstar player, and I just think it's really exciting, and I really hope that he gets fully fit, that he has no problems with his knee. You know, what can we expect, Rob, in terms of longevity? Couple of years, we're going to see the great man.
Couple of years would be great.
Couple
of years would be great. He's good enough footballer, Rob, to maybe sit in the hole if he's got enough legs around him and just dictate the play as well. He doesn't have to be the nine who's always going to be running on. Great, you know, intelligence. Just the media stuff he's going to come up with, not in the nasty way, but the circus that will go around him, I think, is so important to the league. Gives it a gloss, gives it a sheen. And he's going to love it, by the way. And here's the absolute guarantee. If he's not in a movie within the next 24 months, something's gone wrong. The Rock, look out. The Zlatan is after you.
There's millions of films that he could be in. Martial arts films, blimmin', everything. You know, the bad guy, the good guy. And he'll want a piece of that. Yeah, it's fantastic news, fantastic game. And what a player. What a man he is. And I really, really enjoyed that watching that yesterday.
And what a great week of European football we've got coming up. So we'll return on Thursday, April the 5th, with our next podcast, recapping the key stories from Champions League and Europa League. So that's it from us. Now we want to hear from you, our listeners. Firstly, we'd love you to rate and review the shows by downloading the Two Robbies on Apple Podcasts. Tell us what you like and where we can improve. But more importantly, tell us what team you support and why, and we'll read out the best two or three on our next podcast. So, on April the 1st, it was Spurs who made Chelsea look the fools. I'm Earl, he's Musto, and together with the Two Robbies, thanks for listening, and bye for now.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.